Hello. I hope you're feeling well after this week. We're on letter G now. Have nice things. Because it is just you. Everything's not shit. That's the name of the book I've been reading. By Steve Stack. I think it's a British book. I don't know if it got published in America. It's very much a British sort of thing. So here we are, globes. There is something suitably humbling about holding the whole world in your hands. It's making me think of that, right? Got the whole world in his hand, he's got the whole wide world. Anyway. Yes, right. You become aware of the sheer magnitude of the earth that we live on. And the tiny part you play in it. And it is great fun to spin a globe too. Now, I can't help adding to this bit that perhaps more schoolrooms need to have globes. Because a lot of schoolrooms I know only have a flat map. And I'm wondering if not enough school children saw a round globe. And that's how come this thing has sprung up for the Flat Earth Society. Right. Anyway. Next one. Good hair days. We hear a great deal about bad hair days. Excuse me. But these are thankfully few and far between. Well, perhaps they are for him. I'm not so sure about me. Anyway. The author carries on. It says, it is their scarcity that ensures they are remarked upon, which means that the majority of days must be good hair days, and we should stop and celebrate that once in a while, in our own small ways. James Alexander Gordon. Some voices have a hypnotic effect on the listener. They are calming and reassuring. James Alexander Gordon has read out the football scores on the BBC for over 30 years. He can currently be heard every Saturday afternoon just after 5 o'clock on Radio 5 Live's Sports Report. Gordon's career as a broadcaster is quite remarkable, given his childhood. I didn't know this bit. He was adopted as a baby after his mother died giving birth to him, and he contracted polio, oh dear. At just 6 months of age, growing up in and out of hospital and being educated in special schools, he also had to contend with a speech impediment when his father bought him a wireless. he would read along with him the football scores and the shipping forecast, developing his trademark style, the genesis of what he describes thus. If Rangers had won, I would feel happy for them, so my voice would go up. If Celtic had lost, I would feel very sorry for them, so my voice would drop. To me, that seemed logical. In those days, it was funereal when people read the football scores, so I thought I would make it more musical. He certainly does that. Growing your own veg. You plant a seed. You water it. You keep it free from weeds and pests and beasties. You nurture it. It begins to grow. You coax it along, willing it upwards. Eventually, if you are lucky, it grows to maturity. A carrot, or a cucumber, a lettuce, or an onion. Then comes the time to harvest. You reap what you have sown, and then you eat it. It tastes blooming marvellous. I've grown my own vegetables lots of times. The number of slugs I've had to do away with in the back garden. Ooh. Planting marigolds to be sacrificial next to mine so that they would get eaten first and do away with the things that prey on them. Things like... Right, anyway. Guessing quiz show answers correctly. Oh yeah, we all like this one, don't we? 1934. Norman Foster. Bananas. Magnesium. If you shout out answers at the screen often enough and with confidence, sooner or later you will strike it lucky. It helps if you are not entirely random and try to stay within the general vicinity of the likely answer. But it isn't essential. I tried it while watching a recent episode of University Challenge. I got more right than the scruffy looking bloke in the glasses, second from the left. And I felt like a genius. I used to like shouting out the answers to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Gildo on Eurovision. If you remember the 1998 Eurovision Song Contest at all, then it will be the site of transsexual Israeli Dana International, winning in a frenzy of sequins that sticks in the mind. You probably don't remember that the UK entry, Imani, was only just pipped to the top spot by 6 points, and that would be fair enough. Most people can erase the losers from their memories as soon as they can, but there was one other performance that night that was worthy of note, and it was a performance that many rank as the finest in the history of the competition. Gildo Horn was representing Germany, a country not known for song contest success, nor its sense of humour for that matter. He appeared sitting on the edge of the stage with straggly hair, a turquoise velour suit, and puffy sleeves. His song started slowly. Gildo hat uchli, which means Gildo loves you all. And he sang straight to camera. But then the band struck up and Gildo sprang. As if electrified, he sprang across the stage, performing with such cheesy power that the whole studio audience were up and dancing. In true Iggy Pop style, he launched himself into the crowd, greeting, embracing and kissing various onlookers before running back onto the stage in time to perform a cowbell solo. This was stupendous stuff, but Gildo was not finished yet. Spying a gantry to the side of the stage, he jumped upon it, climbing it to its full height, and completed his song hanging off the edge. The crowd went wild. Terry Wogan was flummoxed. Eurovision had witnessed a legendary performance. He finished seventh. 8 years later, this book's older, a bunch of Finnish rockers dressed as orcs romped home. So where is the justice? You have to watch Eurovision just for the spectacle of the whole thing. H on page 73. Haiku. Haiku is the form of Japanese poetry that follows a strict structure but is intended to prompt an emotional response from the reader. Each haiku follows a 5-7-5 syllable structure. In the original Japanese, it would usually be written as one line, but when translated into English, it tends to be rendered into three lines. The best definition of the motivation behind writing haiku can be found in the Haiku Handbook by William J. Higginson. It is hard to tell you how I am feeling. Perhaps I shall share with you the event that made me aware of these feelings. You will have similar feelings of your own. Traditional haiku would normally take nature as its subject, often with the poet observing a natural phenomenon of some kind. It would also feature a prominent grammatical break at the end, the first of the first or second line. A good example is this haiku. Furu ikiya. I'm trying to read Japanese here. Please forgive me, anybody who is Japanese. Furu ikiya koutsu. Tubikomu bitsu no oto. Got no idea if I said that correctly. This was written by Basho, one of the most famous and revered haiku poets. He lived from 1644 to 1694 and began writing haiku at the age of 18. His work contains some of the most beautiful and thought-provoking poetry of any culture, and the haiku above, previous that I just read, is one of the most famous in Japanese literature. It has been translated many times by a variety of translators, but this version by R.H. Blythe. The old pond. A frog jumps in. The sound of the water. Haiku is no longer exclusive to Japanese and has been embraced worldwide. In the process, it has shed some of its familiarities so that nowadays most English language haiku simply follow the 5-7-5 structure, but do not stick to the theme of nature or include the grammatical break. I have to tell you, everything is not shit. So it is just you. Hammocks. Lying on your back in a hammock, the sun filtering through the leaves of the tree above you. A gentle breeze rocking you slowly. An entire day can pass by before you realise it. Ah, yes. I think we should end on that note tonight. I can just imagine a little breeze. Spring sunshine. Drifting me off.